At 620, this is KERA News. I'm Stephanie Kuo. Texas is first in flu, according to Walgreens, and both the Dallas County and Tarrant County Health Departments are tracking a steep uptick in the number of positive tests. According to the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, this year's vaccine is thought to be about 32% effective, just like last year's. KERA's Courtney Collins explores why the flu shot doesn't always hit the mark and whether that makes it a tough sell.
Nobody's excited to get a shot. The flu vaccine, though, it's an annual tradition for Douglas Eckert, Melvin Patterson, and Tyson Dunn.
Yes.
Oh, yeah, at the VA hospital.
I do.
While it's a non-negotiable for those three, Sandra Stanek, Tammy Price, and Mohammed Samad don't want any part of it.
No, I don't.
No, I'm just afraid of it.
I'm 72 years old. I never had a flu shot.
And that opinion is the prevailing one. According to the CDC, flu vaccination rates for adults in recent years hover just over 40%. Dr. Edward Dominguez thinks he knows why.
Many people feel that all of the available vaccines for influenza in the United States can actually cause the flu. And these are killed vaccines. They can't cause anything other than pain and local inflammation, or you can be allergic to the components. None of these vaccines can actually cause the flu.
Dominguez is an infectious disease specialist at Methodist Dallas Medical Center. He says people are also turned off to getting the vaccine when they hear it's only 32% effective. Believe it or not, he says, that's not unusual.
It turns out that that's about as good as the flu vaccine has always been, somewhere between 30 to 50% effective.
Dominguez says by the time the season's over, we may discover the vaccine wasn't even 32% effective. That's because one of the strains of flu the shot protects against might be mutating. That means what's in the vaccine is a little different than the virus actually going around.
And it doesn't take much of a mutation for that particular virus to become more aggressive, if you will, and for the vaccine to become less effective, even though it's very closely related to last year's strain.
Dallas County reports this season about 30% of flu tests from hospital labs were coming back positive in late December. At the same time last season, only about 6% of flu tests were positive.
We won't know exactly how effective this vaccine was until we're past this flu season. I think if you talk to enough physicians, they're going to tell you that it's probably less than 30%.
And this season, Dominguez can speak from experience. He got the vaccine like he does every year and still got the flu, then ended up in the emergency room with pneumonia. Courtney Collins, KERA News.
The Kalita Humphreys Theater is the only freestanding theater by renowned architect Frank Lloyd Wright. Nestled next to Turtle Creek in Dallas, it opened to national acclaim in 1959 and housed the Dallas Theater Center for 50 years. Now it's fallen into disrepair. In this week's State of the Arts, KERA's Ann Bothwell sat down with Mark Lamster, architecture critic at the Dallas Morning News, to learn about a plan to save the theater and why that plan has stalled.
Mark Lamster, welcome to KERA.
Thanks for having me.
The Kalita Humphreys was designed by a great architect, but what makes it worth restoring?
Well, not just any great architect. It was built by Frank Lloyd Wright, who is the defining American architect of the 20th century. And it's really a beautiful example of his late work. This project came at the very end of his career when he had turned to sort of a monumental architecture of bold forms. People familiar with the Guggenheim Museum in New York. And here we have the Kalita Humphreys, a good example of that incredible period. So it's a really fascinating timepiece and testament to one of America's great designers.
From the jump, there were some problems with the building. He didn't believe in air conditioning, for example, and he had an issue about elevators.
Wright was an idiosyncratic individual, and his buildings are idiosyncratic. That is what makes them special. That's also some of their drawbacks. He was a very difficult person to work with, and some of the issues the theater has experienced over the years are a product of his obstinacy. He originally didn't want there to be elevators for the scenery. The original art director of the theater, Paul Baker, insisted that there be. Basically, Wright threatened to walk off the project. One of them was built without his actually knowing about it. One of his assistants, who believed that Baker was right, installed it, and Wright died before he ever got to see it in practice.
If you see the building, it doesn't necessarily look like it's in horrible shape. What's wrong with it?
over time, there have been accretions after accretion, not really in keeping with the right spirit. So there's an added lobby, so it now opens in two directions. There is an extra story that changed the way it looks, and the theater itself has been dramatically compromised. It was really extraordinary when it was built. It was known as this golden room. The theater projected into the audience and really put the players in the same space as the audience. And now the seats are red velvet. It's dark. It's got none of the special jewel-like feeling that it originally had.
The building's in disrepair as well, though, right?
It has been. It's been terribly neglected because it has so many organizations that are forced to care for it. The Dallas Theater Center is the primary tenant. It's owned by the city, but there's a sublessee. It's set in a park, so the Dallas Park and Recreation Department oversees part of it, and there are these gray zones between the building and the park where nobody really knows who's responsible for it. It's never really been taken care of properly.
There's a master plan from back in 2010 to address a lot of these issues. What's in that plan?
The 2010 master plan would rehabilitate the theater to its original design intention of 1959. There's now a separate auxiliary building. It's falling apart. So that would be replaced with a new facility with parking. There would also be a place for drinks, dining, etc. There would be a welcome center. A right building could be like a linchpin for the city. Recently, Buffalo took similar steps to rehabilitate one of Wright's houses there. And now it's one of the most successful tourist attractions in the city.
Why hasn't this plan been implemented?
There's really been no one to take charge. And the good news is that there is now a conservancy that has been formed that would take control, that would bring together all the different city organizations and private foundations and agencies and get them together and oversee the reconstruction.
How much would that cost?
Estimates are, I think, $40 million.
There are so many needs in Dallas, from city streets to underfunded pensions, and there are so many grand plans that Dallas has stalled over. I'm thinking about Fair Park or the Trinity River. Why focus on this one?
I really don't think it's a zero-sum game. We have a conservancy here that is going to be devoted to raising funds to make this happen. So it's not coming out of the city purse. It's not competing with Fair Park or the Trinity. We have a gem here, and it's not right to just let it rot and fester.
Mark Lamster, thank you so much.
It was my pleasure.
Mark Lamster's essay on the Cleta Humphreys Theater appears in Sunday's Dallas Morning News. You can find a link to it at artandseek.org. And finally, today is Robert Siegel's last day as host of NPR's All Things Considered. He's been in the host chair since 1987, although he joined NPR in the 70s. Last spring, Siegel talked with KERA's Rick Holter about his early days with the network.
We were cutting quarter-inch audio tape.
Literally cutting tape.
Yes, our rundown for the show, we called it the roadmap, was with a marker on a whiteboard. Today, we're much more technologically sophisticated. We have far more reporters. I mean, when I went to London and for NPR, I was the whole foreign staff. I was
Right, and that was what, 79?
That was 79. In those days, the burden was on us to fill up the show with the news. We couldn't count on very many reporters.
Listen to more of our conversation with Robert Siegel at keranews.org. All Things Considered continues tonight at 7 o'clock here on KERA 90.1. In the weather, partly cloudy tonight with lows in the mid-30s. Tomorrow, temperatures nearing 60 again, and possible showers on Sunday. It's 6:30. This is KERA News.